Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man of War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I've entitled this morning's message, The Sinner's Religion. The Sinner's Religion. And I don't say that flippantly. I realize that sin is an infinite evil. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is essentially and fundamentally the sinner's religion. The only people who are interested in and are saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are sinners. And they stay sinners. I'm not talking about they stay committing this sin and that sin. That's not what I'm talking about. But someone that God has saved always sees themselves as sinners. Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am. Not I was, right now, present tense, of whom I am the chief. Now, that's how Paul saw himself, this man that God had revealed himself to. The sinner's religion. Now in the passage of Scripture I just read, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now the we is every sinner, whether Jew or Gentile. I know it refers to all of God's elect, all for whom Christ died, all that God the Holy Spirit has given life to. But this is how they hear the gospel, how they understand the gospel, how they believe the gospel as sinners. We have access, freedom of entrance into the very presence of the Father. Now, there are those who do not have access to the Father. The Lord told us about them. He said, many shall say unto me in that day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? In your name have we not cast out demons? And in your name have we not done many wonderful works? Then will I confess to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. These were denied access into the presence of the Father. The Lord said, no man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father. Now this is not something to take for granted. There are those who try to come some way other than Christ, like Cain did, bringing the fruit of his own works, and they will be rejected. But there are some, and I want to be one of those people. And I can give an encouragement to any sinner. This means you. If you're not a sinner, I don't have a message for you. But if you're a sinner, this message is for you. Now, in this verse of Scripture, the first thing that I'd like to point out is we have the Trinity. We read of the Father, we read of through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we read of the one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. We have the Trinity. Now, can I understand the Trinity? No. I don't understand how God is one God in three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you came up to someone and said that had no understanding of God, had never heard any of the message of the Bible, and you said, God is one God in three persons, they'd say, what in the world does that mean? Well, the only reason we can say this is because it's a part of divine revelation. The Bible is the inspired word of God. God breathed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. There is no error in the Bible. Now, somebody may think, and I understand them thinking this, how do you expect me to believe that? How do you expect me to believe with men copying over and over the centuries, how do we know that men's thoughts and men's ideas have not entered in? And it's really, maybe at one time it was inspired, but who's to say what is man's writing and what is God's writing? I can understand somebody thinking that way, but think with me. You believe that God created the universe. And if you don't believe that, there was a time when you did. Because every natural man is born with this understanding. Somebody very powerful made this world, and nobody made him. He's eternal. You believe that. God created the universe. Now, if God can create the universe, God can also inspire a book and preserve it through the centuries as his word. Now, if the Bible is not the inspired word of God, you got my opinion, you got your opinion. Our thoughts are just wrong. Thank the Lord for the Bible. We're not dependent upon some man to tell us what the truth is. We've got the Word of God. And the Word of God reveals that God is one God in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. When the Lord gave instructions concerning baptism, he said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we also know from the scriptures that a covenant was made between the three persons of the Godhead before the foundation of the world. Now, there was a time, and I know I'm speaking in a way that's really impossible to grasp because we're creatures of time and space, but there was a time when time had not yet begun. There was no space. All there was God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Father chose a people in Christ before the creation, before the foundation of the world. God the Son agreed to be their Redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit agreed to give them life. Now, this is all outlined in the first chapter of Ephesians. We read in verse 4, here's the work of the Father, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before it. In verse 7, we have the work of the Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Did you know that Jesus Christ is called in Revelation 13:8 the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. And God the Holy Spirit comes in time to give those whom God elected and Christ died for spiritual life, being born of the Spirit. That's what being born again is. It's being born of the Spirit, where he gives you life. He gives you a heart that believes that you did not previously have. Now, the Bible teaches that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit all purposed and purchased salvation before time began. The Bible teaches a Trinitarian salvation, and we really don't believe the gospel if we don't believe this. Election by the Father, redemption by the Son, and regeneration or the giving of life by God the Holy Spirit. Somebody that doesn't preach the work of all three persons of the Godhead in salvation is not preaching the gospel. It is all a part of what is called the gospel. Election by the Father, redemption by the Son, and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Now, through Him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we, those the Father elected, those the Son redeemed, those the Holy Spirit has given life to, whether Jew or Gentile, these people have access, freedom of entrance into the very presence of the Father. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have access. And Romans 5:2 says, by whom we have access. Now, this is sad, but men take this as a given. They think, well, of course we have access into God's presence. And not realizing God's holiness, they think, well, I can come right into God's presence anytime I want. That's what He's there for. He's God. I've got a free will, and whenever I decide I want to come to God's presence, I can be accepted. And they have never understood the holiness, the righteousness of God. Your sins have separated you, the Scripture says. And by nature, I can't come into God's presence. I have no access because of my sin. God is unapproachable in holiness and in splendor and in majesty. And no man can just come waltzing into His presence and be accepted. He's a holy God. But the Scripture says in this verse I just read, through Him, in Him, and by Him, all the Father elected, the Son redeemed, and the Holy Spirit calls are granted free and complete access into His presence, into the very Holy of Holies, and have the full favor and acceptance of God. Now, how is this? How is this? Well, number one, because that which prevented their access has been removed. I love to think about this. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," all my sin was put away. Every bit of it, gone. You see, the Lord paid the debt. My sin became His sin. He took full responsibility for the guilt of it and the punishment of it. That's why He was on the cross. He took my sins and my sorrows and made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. And He put away my sin. I don't have anything to prevent me from having complete free access into the Father's presence because I have no sin. In Christ, I have no sin. Now, I realize that this very day I've committed sin. This very minute I've committed sin. If I breathe, I commit sin. But Christ put it all away. And in God's sight, everybody that Christ died for is holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight because of the blood of the cross. Now, I have access into this holy God's favor and presence because I have no sin, because Christ put it away. That which has prevented me from having access has been done away with. He by Himself purged our sins. And I now have the complete love of God. God the Father loves me just the way He loves His Son. Now, I wouldn't say that if the Bible didn't say it, but the Lord said, "Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved me," John chapter 17, verse 23. I wouldn't dare say that had not the Lord said it. But so perfect is every believer that they have the full and complete love of God. Now, again, men consider this a given. Well, of course I've got the love of God. God loves everybody. That's what he's there for, to help men. And that's a misunderstanding of the love of God, because God's love is not just some kind of generic love where he can love you and you wind up in hell anyway. No, his love is such that if he loves you, you're saved. He loved me and gave himself for me. That's the assurance of the believer. Now, there's a whole lot of people that God loves. All those in Christ, all those who believe, all those that were in Christ before time began. It's a vast number. You don't need to say, well, what if I'm not one of them? What if you are? What if you are? And the only way you can know if you are is if you believe the gospel. But I have in Christ all of God's saving love. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together by Christ. Now, I'm welcome. I'm welcome. Every believer is. I have complete access into the presence of the Father. And we know this access is by his Spirit. It's by his Spirit. This is a supernatural thing. It's by his Spirit that we come into his presence and have access with the Father. Now, you think of this Trinitarian salvation. God loved me so much that he didn't spare his own son. Christ loved me so much that he willingly took my place. God the Holy Spirit loved me so much that he causes me to approach unto the Father and have this access. Now, through, in, and by Christ, every believer always has this access to the Father. There's no time when I'm not welcome. I know that I will commit a sin and I'll feel bad and I'll feel guilty and I'll feel ashamed to come into God's presence thinking that I somehow have to feel better and do better. That's all false thinking. Every believer has immediate access all the time into the very presence of God in Christ Jesus. And this access is holy by him. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. That's the one who has access with the Father, the one that he chooses and causes to approach. Our Lord said this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now I want you to listen to this statement very carefully. Satan's great goal is to put something between the sinner and Christ, to block up this access. That is his great goal. Now there is a being, a created being, named Satan. He's very powerful. Me and you aren't any match for him. He's very powerful. But he is God's devil on God's chain. He cannot act apart from the sovereign will of God. That's so comforting. What if the devil had equal power? People present the devil and Christ kind of in competition with each other. No, the devil is God's devil on God's chain. Never forget that. Yes, he's more powerful than you and I, but he is infinitely beneath the omnipotent God. But he's a being who hates God. He hates Jesus Christ. He hates God the Holy Spirit. He hates everything associated with God. And he is going to do everything that he can to keep the sinner from coming to Christ. Now, what do I mean by that? Have you ever heard a preacher say, turn from your sins and trust Christ? Repent of your sins and trust Christ. Sure, you've heard a preacher say that. Most have. Turn from your sins and trust Christ. You can't really come to Christ. You can't really have access to the Father until you first do something about your sins. You turn from them and don't return to them. You quit committing them, and then you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my dear friend, that is the message of salvation by works. That is you having to do something in order to make you have the right to come to Christ and gain access to the Father. That is salvation by works. If there's something you need to do before you can trust Christ or come to Christ, which is our access with the Father through Him, by Him, and in Him. If there's something you need to do in your life, get something straightened up, stop committing some particular sin, and then you can come to Christ, that is no different than saying you're saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. No difference, because it's putting salvation in some way to be dependent upon you. This is the voice of Satan to try to get the sinner to do something to make himself savable. If there's anything you need to do before you get to Christ so He can bring you to the Father, you'll not get there. Now listen to this scripture, Luke chapter 15. I love this passage of scripture. This is where some people were actually complaining about the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, "Then drew near unto Him all," not most, "all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him." And the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people, the moral majority, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners, and he eats with them." He receives them just as they are, and he even eats with them. Something's wrong with that. This man receives sinners and eats with them. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, I've already quoted this once. Let me quote it again. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul makes this statement. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Now, this is a faithful saying. That means you can rely on this. It's in Holy Scripture, and it will stand before God in judgment. This is a statement that you can rely on. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. You, my friend, and I ought to receive this as the best news we've ever heard. It's worthy of all acceptation. Here it is, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Now, He was, before He came into the world, He's the eternal Son of God, but He came into the world. Christ, God's anointed, God's prophet, God's priest, God's king, the one who brings the Word of God to us, the one who brings us to God, the one who rules and reigns over everything. Christ, Jesus, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins," came into the world for this purpose, to save sinners. Now, do you hear that? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What's a sinner? Well, a sinner is someone that's sinful. They're sinners. They're the ones that do the committing of the sins. It's their nature. They're sinners. They're born sinners. If you're a sinner, you were born that way. If you're a sinner, you cannot not sin. You can't be holy. All you do is sin. If you do it, it's sin. If you're a sinner. And all your sin is your fault. You can't blame God for it. You can't blame anybody but yourself. It's all your fault. You can't blame your circumstances. You can't blame your environment. You can't blame what's... It's all your fault. If you're a sinner, you believe that you can't sit in judgment on anybody for anything. That's the place you're looking from. You can't judge anybody for anything. And if you're a sinner, you know you don't have any claims on God. If he passes you by, just and holy is his name. Whatever he does is right. Now that's what a sinner is. Are you a sinner? Somebody says, well, I don't see that. Well, then I can't tell you Christ came to save you. The only people he came to save are sinners. And if you don't see yourself in that light, it's because you're lost. You're under the complete dominion and blinding power of sin, and you can't see what's really wrong with you. If God gives you eyes to see, if he gives me eyes to see, we're going to see we're sinners. We're going to take that place. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And notice it says he came to save them. He didn't come to make them savable. He didn't come to make their salvation possible if they do their part. He came to save them. And that's exactly what he did. We read in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. He shall save his people from their sins. And beloved, that's exactly what he did. By his one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, I'm a sinner. I'm not saying that, but remember what I entitled this message, The Sinner's Religion? This is the only hope any sinner has. Now, if you have any goodness of your own, this message will be meaningless to you. You just think the guy saying it has some kind of personal problems he's trying to air out. That's what you'll think when you, if you're not hearing as a sinner. But if you hear as a sinner, you'll see that this is the only way I can be saved, for Christ to come and save me. I love the word of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden under a burden and a deep sense of sin, your guilt before God, and you can't do anything to get rid of it. You can't make yourself better. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest of believing the gospel. The rest of not working, but trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as everything in salvation, the one who came to save sinners. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email. We'll send you a copy. This is Todd Neibert. Pray that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.